Welcome back to the Resistance Broadcast. I'm John Hoey. Thank you for hanging out with us today. And the countdown is shrinking as Solo opens 4 weeks from today. We're going to discuss misdirection in Star Wars trailers, citing examples from the already released films under Disney, and try to pinpoint what we think might be misdirection in the Solo trailers and TV spots. So James Bandy and Lacey Gillerin, as the rebel formerly known as FN2187, once said, "Are we really doing this?"
I applaud your enthusiasm with that line.
Thanks.
You guys can find me at Myra Trunks on Twitter and Instagram, MIRAHTRUNKS. That's a little bit of misdirection for you.
Wait, what? I'm so confused. What?
I think he just proved his point.
Mm-hmm. I'm so confused, but I feel like I'll get this probably an hour from now, and I'll be like, oh, aha. But anyway, I'm really excited to talk about Star Wars. Yeah.
All right. And hopefully we misdirected you out there enough, but not so much where you turn this off. So stay with us here, because I think it's time for us to kick things off by finding out if the Force is with us. So Lacey, what do you got for us this week?
Okay, guys, as Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, many of the truths that we cling to depend on our point of view. Thus, let us find out, is the Force with you? Lucasfilm originally had a third standalone movie set for release in 2020, and nothing has been announced yet. We have had previous discussions on the show about that rumored Kenobi movie, and how that may never wind up happening. Is it possible that spot may open for a potential sequel to Solo? So, Solo, a Star Wars story, went into production in early 2017, and had to all but reshoot itself 9 months ago. The 2020 Star Wars movie is still way down the line. What if Lucasfilm is waiting to see how well Solo does? If Solo is loved by fans and a major success, is the Force with you on a potential Solo sequel filling that 2020 standalone spot? James, what do you think?
This is such a hard question, because I think it's very clear that they've said the Solo movies are standalone movies. You know what I mean? It's just supposed to be a one-time tale, and then we have the saga films. But man, you bring on all these young actors, you know, you've got time to fill. Rogue One was up against like another movie and there was no time. You know what I mean? This is plenty of time to talk about, you know, a second Han Solo adventure, a third Han Solo adventure. That makes so much sense to me. Now, I think personally that we've talked last week about the checklist, you know what I mean? Of like, you know, what do we want to see from Han Solo? How he got his blaster, how he got the Falcon, how he met Lando, how he met Chewie, how he got so jaded. Like, and we're just checking off all these things. I think they might have just said, let's just do it all in this movie. You know what I mean? But there's always the possibility that he ends the movie and the Falcon still belongs to Lando. They're still on good terms. And we all come walking out of that movie go, man, I thought that's where we were going to get it. It's like, no, this is where you got the Kessel Run and how he met Chewbacca. But all those other stories, those are still up for whatever. You know what I mean? Those could be books. Those could be comics. They could maybe even be a 2020 standalone and another sequel. You know, we could still do this down the line. And find out how he actually obtained the Millennium Falcon in another game. I think that scene is coming in this movie, but is the Force with me on the possibility of another Solo movie coming, a sequel? It's possible. So the Force is probably with me.
John, what do you think?
Yeah, mainly because, as James was saying, these we've been calling them standalone movies, but Lucasfilm doesn't call them standalone movies, really. They call them a Star Wars story, you know, anthology movie. So they're not necessarily limited to, all right, well, we told that story and it's done. Rogue One, yes, because it bookended right into A New Hope. So you literally can't make a sequel to that movie. Plus, everyone's dead from that movie.
Spoiler alert.
I know. Gosh, I was just going to go watch it after this podcast. For the first time. Yeah. I saw the trailer. I think I know what's going to happen.
But Solo, and especially after hearing the Kasdans talk about it so warmly on the Star Wars show and how much they love these characters. I know Larry said he's done after this, but John's not necessarily.
Yeah, he said swan song.
Yeah, John's not necessarily done, though. And if we really adhere to Alden, do we honestly think that's the last time we're going to see him as Han Solo? I don't. Like, maybe we'll see him in the live-action TV series, depending on when that happens. But, you know, this whole thing about 2020 was supposed to be a Kenobi movie or a Boba Fett movie, we've heard nothing about this. And if you think the production of Solo started about a little more than a year ago and it's coming out now, 2020 is still a long way away. They can announce this thing after the box office run of Solo, get this thing rolling, and still have plenty of time to get it into production without shooting the movie twice. So I think it's definitely possible. And honestly, if this thing winds up being really good, I would welcome it. So I'll be more inclined once I see Solo, but it, like James was saying, is it possible? Yes. So the force is with me, Lacey.
I'm going to disagree with both of you guys, and I said this on Monday. I don't think they're going to make another one. I can see why you guys say that, but I just don't think they will. The force is not with me on this. Although right. I will watch anything they put out, to be clear. All right, so our next topic. Disney's purchase of 21st Century Fox is looking to be finalized by spring-summer 2019. This means the original Star Wars movies will no longer be handcuffed by the hands of Fox, and for the first time, all Star Wars films will be owned under the Disney umbrella. This has fans bringing back the old wish of releasing the original cuts of the original trilogy, a wish that appears will never fade away. Lucasfilm should re-release a home video version of the original uncut original trilogy as it was originally released in theaters. Is the Force with you, John?
No. There's this great Twitter account, and I'm bummed that I can't think of it right now, but what they do is they take
Star Wars Compared?
Something like that, yeah. They take the most mundane shots from the original trilogy and compare it to the original cut of it, and even those shots look better. So, like, we always harp on Greedo and Han and Jabba and that stuff, but when you really break down what they did to improve those movies to make them look as good as they do now, you can't go back, especially if you want to watch these things in sequence as an actual saga. And also, if you reintroduce that, you're going to create more wars where you're going to have the "that's my trilogy" versus "screw you guys" in that version. Like, it had its time. It got upgraded. You put the new body kit on the Falcon. You put the new body kit on the original trilogy. And now you have what is the current version of the trilogy. So for the sake of avoiding headaches and looking at a movie that looks like it's 40 years old, no, the Force is not with me.
James, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to call back to what I said on Monday's episode. Nope.
Are we going to just start? That's our intro music now.
Yeah. Brought to you by 20th Century Nope. With this question, I think John nailed all the points that didn't occur to me, but I know I've said in the past, like, that's going to cause more problems. I don't want to see it because you'd be surprised how awful it actually looks. My biggest thing where I hear people talk about this and they go, they should absolutely do that. They don't even realize how much money they would make on that. Like, if they re-release the original trilogy, like, I hear that all the time, and it is not even a drop in the hat. It's not even a drop in the hat. Like, if all the people who were really, really, really wanting that movie went out and bought that trilogy, you know, as like a new edition, but it's not the original or something. Seriously, it would not even put a blip on the radar of the money that they're trying to make with the franchise. It would probably please some people and they'd be excited to have it. But the honest truth is, like, it's not a game changer. It's not how much money they make. They're throwing away free money. Like, seriously, just don't spend your time trying to recreate that and a marketing campaign behind it to try to make that money. Do something else and they'll make 100 times more money doing something else, honestly. So, like, I honestly just don't get it. I'm with John. I don't want to see these re-released.
James, what if they do this, though? What if they do it and then they give
it?
Those They do it. And then they give those people three blank DVDs where they get to write and make their own sequel trilogy because they hate the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, it's actually a six disc set. So it's like it's the original movies and the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Ted, go in the backyard with your Force Effect saber and make a better sequel trilogy.
Yeah,
well, this one sucked.
We'll give you the DVD that you can burn it.
If there are any Teds listening, they're not talking about you. Don't worry.
Yeah. No, it's not you, Ted. It's the other Ted.
Yeah, Ted, we are talking about you.
So here's how I feel about it. I don't think they need to re-release them as the original cuts, per se. I want a box set of all of them. That's given. Can I just make like one small tweak? Like, can I have one suggestion? And that would be to remove the Jabba Han Solo walking scene. I hate it. I can't get over it. And even when they re-released these a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. No, a while ago when I was younger. I remember watching that and I had grown up surprisingly on the original cuts of them, not the newer ones. And that scene just threw me off. And it's the part where he steps on his tail.
Sure.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Because they can't get the actual momentum of him like stepping down. So it's like a still image being like stared, you know, down to the right.
Yeah.
You know, like you can almost see him.
It wasn't good then and it's aged worse 20 years later.
Yeah, but they have fixed it. Have you ever seen the comparison of like the original Jabba in that scene? Not the original original Jabba. I'm not talking about the fat guy who looked like a barbarian. Like
the human?
I'm talking about like the first like 1999 King Robert special
from Game
edition. Of Thrones.
How did they explain that again? Didn't they say that
to
it was
the more
like
current ones.
Not him, it was like one of his helpers that posed as him?
I don't even know if they explained it. I think he was supposed to be a stand-in, and I'm not really sure what that was. But
now
Han
that I think
say,
about it,
it
makes me wonder. I'm
going
to have to go back and look. And I wonder if anybody's listening. Hopefully people are listening. If anybody knows the answer to that.
If anybody's out there.
I really want to know. I don't know, because I remember that it was the guy, that fat guy.
There's always a few of our listeners who are like, they find one thing that we said wrong, and then they make sure they tell us about it.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
what? What do you think that's going to be?
Of us talking about Jabba being a human. We do not think Jabba is a human. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
We also don't think the Kessel Run is a race. We misspoke.
Yes. Yeah.
I used the wrong words last week. It is not a race. I was saying, do you think he cheated to get the record? That's what I meant by winning, like having that record, not necessarily winning a race.
Somebody called us out on YouTube as well. They were like, hold on, did they re-change it or something? Like, yeah.
No.
And I was like trying to explain.
I know it's not a race.
Here's my one request is I say they release it exactly as the original trilogy was, completely exactly as it was, but then they add in the Jabba scene where he shows up at the port. Yeah. And he can walk over his tail because, like, it was supposed to be there. Stick it in. That's the original version.
So bad.
All right. What's the next? Is the Force with you?
So next, we will talk more about this book with a special guest next week. But let's touch on one aspect of the Solo Lando novel, Last Shot, briefly, as one area has been a hot issue on Twitter this past week or so. Han Solo and Little Ben. This book goes into Han clearly not being ready to be a father and hammers home an image of a very young Ben Solo, which to many immediately makes older Ben Solo, aka Kylo Ren, a more sympathetic character. No matter how much of the Star Wars audience reads them, these novels are canon. Is Lucasfilm setting up for... Oh, God, guys, I'm so excited for this one. Okay. Is Lucasfilm setting up Kylo Ren for redemption with these closer looks into his childhood? Is the Force with you, James? And you know the answer to this question. You better say it.
I don't have a song to go with it like I did on the last one, but it is a big, strong nope in my book. Because what do you expect them to do? You want them to make the baby evil? Like, you want the baby to be like, I can't wait to kill you, Dad. Like, obviously, he hasn't gotten to that point in his life yet where he's starting to understand
for a long time, Dad.
Or get angry. Like, if they were to even make an attempt to try to make the baby Ben evil or like a dark side or something, like, that would just be super weird. And clearly the other point of it too is, like, you're trying to say, not you, but I mean, like, if someone is trying to say that they're trying to make him more redeemable later down the line, I think that all this is doing is adding to the tragedy. Like, to say he's definitely going to, like, I don't know, like, if let's say, for instance, we already knew a character died, then when we go back and we revisit them in a prequel, they literally, like, they hammer that home because we as an audience already know how they die. Does that make sense? So, like, everything they do, we, like, understand how their story ends. Like, I think that's what's going on here is we... Daniel, for instance, like, already knows that this story is him turning evil, and it's a tragedy and it's a sad story. So now that story gets emphasized when we talk about his how good he was as a child and how he had so much hope and promise. And then at the same time, like, but we know how the story ends, kind of a thing. So, no, yeah, nope.
John. What do you think? Is the Force with you on this?
Is the Force with me on that Lucasfilm is setting up a redemption? No. Books are books, no matter what people say in terms of how they sit in the Star Wars universe. So I know it's canon, but 95% of the audience that will go see Episode 9 will probably have no idea of its existence. And ultimately, I don't think Kylo Ren will be redeemed because we already saw that story once, and it was called the original trilogy. And I don't care if Star Wars rhymes. I know people are going to say that. I don't need the same endgame because if we get the same endgame, then what was the point of telling this whole new story anyway? That's my take on it. And I believe one of the other books, I forget which one it was, Bloodline or something, talked about mm-hmm. that Snoke was already trying to manipulate baby Ben inside the womb. So... we've touched on this as him even before he was born with the seeds of evil. So I don't know. I don't think they're setting it up for that. I just think it's one of those things that's going to make it that much more difficult when he eventually gets thrashed and killed in Episode 9, which I think he'll do to himself. Thank you.
First question, how dare you? second, what's wrong with you?
I'm sure I've been muted and blocked by everyone who wants him redeemed anyway. So if you're listening to this, too bad, because I'm on the show and that's what happens.
Okay, let me put down my teacup after listening to your BS that both of you just spewed. So yeah, the Force is with me hard on this one. Last shot, it's not just the scenes of baby Ben Solo being adorable. It's the idea that this person, yes, he's a baby, but there were choices that had to be made along the way for him to get to the point that he is in the new sequel trilogy. And those are reflected on the way that he was ignored as a kid. And they touch on it a lot in Last Shot, where you have Leia passing him off to a droid and you have Han leaving and never being around. You have, like you said, Bloodline or whatever that novel was. I forget. I'm pretty sure it's Bloodline, where you have Snoke preying on him at an early age. You have Force Awakens, where Leia is saying, you know, it wasn't, you know, it was Snoke. Snoke did this to our son. There are so many instances that just show that, yes, he is a softy, including interviews with Rian Johnson, where he said he had a choice to kill his mom and he didn't. And that is where the cutoff is, that he's not willing to take that extra step to do that. Yeah, he killed Han, but if you look at Last Shot, Han was never around. He didn't have that emotional connection that he had with his mom. And I think it's just one of those things. Like, I just think Kylo Ren's going to be redeemed. Ben Solo deserves that happy ending, despite what everyone thinks. People do terrible things when they're abused or when they're treated terribly. And betrayal is a very hard thing to get over. And you had an uncle that literally tried to murder him. So when you're feeling desperate and your family has ditched you and Luke Skywalker's tried to kill you, who is basically your last hope, yeah, you're going to turn to the bad guy that says, yeah, come over to our side. We'll take care of you. Whether it's right or wrong, people search for belonging, and that's what Ben did. He went to the wrong place for belonging.
But then he killed that guy. And then he killed his dad.
He killed his dad before he killed that guy, but... he thought that by killing his dad, he would finally get that sense of belonging, and all it did was split him in half. So I think he's going to get the redemption. I don't know why I just said that. He'll get the Bendemption, as people have been saying.
Bendemption? What Reddit account do you follow that comes up with all of these, like...
all the Ben count accounts.
These
all
Ben
account. You can't tell me that Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams, who are both very big on writing this character, don't want that for him. If they wanted him to be a simple, oh, he's a baddie, they wouldn't have made you feel sorry for him in this and Last Jedi and all these other mediums.
Yeah, I just think they like complicated storytelling.
Look, Rian Johnson made a movie where the guy was a bad person, and when he realized he was doing the wrong thing, he took the gun, pointed it at himself, and he pulled the trigger, and he ended it all. And I think John has been preaching that for a very long time.
That's true, I have.
Yeah, but I don't think Kylo's going to do that.
Oh, okay.
before we end this, because I feel like we've taken a lot of time on this the segment.
How much time do you have, John?
I have all the time in the world. I have nothing to do. But why do you think it's called Last Shot? Because I feel like it's the last shot of Han making his son not turn or something. Like, this was it, and it didn't end well.
Are you finished with the book, Lacey?
No.
I am not fully finished. I'm about probably 70% through.
Do they make it clear? Because I haven't started the book yet. Do they make it clear why it's called that? Or is it ominous?
Not as far as I'm in it yet.
Not yet.
Okay. I'm just wondering. Well, I guess we'll talk about it more next week when we have a guest on that we're not going to reveal yet.
Bum, bum, bum. But, you know, I could talk about this for hours. And if anybody wants to, you can tweet at me and I'll gladly talk about it. But that's all we've got for Is the Force With You? Now on to our other Star Wars discussion.
Obi-Wan once thought as you do.
All right. Yeah, this week in our Star Wars discussion, we are doing Trailer Misdirection, a Star Wars discussion. Movie trailers carry a lot more weight than they used to. They are almost as anticipated as the movies themselves sometimes. Star Wars is probably the biggest example of that, with fans immediately reacting and dissecting and giving their theories, putting up their YouTube reactions, trying to put the puzzle pieces together. But as we've learned oftentimes, especially with the recent Disney releases of Star Wars movies, there's a lot of misdirection going on in these trailers that we learn after the fact.
Or is there?
Or is there? Yeah, sometimes not at all. But we're here to talk about trailer misdirection in Star Wars. And then once we do, by taking a look back at the recent three movies, we're going to turn that eye forward at these Solo trailers and TV spots to see if we can speculate on some potential misdirection for that movie that we're about to see in 4 weeks. So let's open it up here. I say let's take a look back first at the three movies that have come out under the Disney umbrella and try to pinpoint some misdirection, stylized misdirection and stuff like that. So who wants to start it off?
Well, I'll say this. I watch like other, you know, movie shows and stuff on YouTube, and I've noticed that pretty often the most misdirected trailer of all time was Bridge to Terabithia. People talk about that as a film that, you know, you watch the trailer and the trailer presents this image of this boy and this girl, and they go into this magical world and there's like these creatures and it seems very like Narnia. And then all of a sudden, like when you actually go see the movie, it's not about that at all. Like it, like mm-hmm. that boy like dies early in the movie and it's like this, like,
spoiler.
Yeah, it's just like this depressing movie. It's about her dealing with it and like she creates those like creatures, but like they're only there for like very, very, very short amounts of time, like 30 seconds, 20 seconds even.
Are they going to release the original cut of that movie?
Yeah,
then?
No, the original cut was just something like just completely different than what the trailers pitched, and everybody was like really mad about it. And I've thought often about the Star Wars trailers in the sense of, you know, look, there's been a couple things. We'll talk about them here in a minute. But like Force Awakens and Rogue One had scenes in those trailers that weren't even in the real movie. And after that happened, I was like, I had this like weird kind of epiphany. I'm thinking, dude, maybe they should do that. Like maybe they really should just give us everything you see in the trailer is not in the movie. but it's totally the feel, the vibe. You can see things, you get ideas of what it is, but we're not giving away anything.
Okay, so you get nothing. I mean? So you go, you wind up going in fresh without realizing.
That could be really cool, because like to see an image of a TIE fighter that flies up, we're like, okay, cool, wow, this is going to be like this neat thing. And when you go in just knowing like that scene's not in the movie, but there's totally going to be like a war and we're going to see stuff like that, we get the feel and the tone of the movie without actually having to see anything. That way we're not piecing things together, speculating, figuring it out and stuff like that. All that to be said, they're not doing that. Absolutely, they're not doing that. You know, I think that these things, when they put these trailers together, they're using the footage that they have on hand at the time. I don't know. I guess before we go into that, like, what are your guys' thoughts? I don't want to steal the show and just like go on and on and on about it.
Well, I was going to say there's different layers to misdirection. There's unused footage like you were talking about. We saw that right out of the gate with The Force Awakens in that trailer with Maz and Rey and that dialogue that wound up never existing. As the overtones of that trailer, that whole trailer was about her being no one and the Force calls to you, and the beginning and end of that trailer wasn't in the movie. So that was interesting. Then you have other things like direct misdirection, which is like in The Last Jedi, Kylo Ren saying, "Let the past die, kill it if you have to." And the whole time it's him and Leia, him and Leia, him and Leia. And we're like, oh, let the past die. Leia's your past, so you're killing Leia. And then it turned out, spoiler alert for the three people who haven't seen The Last Jedi, he's talking to Rey about letting everything die, which is the Sith, the Jedi, the Republic, the Resistance, the First Order.
It's funny, because when I saw that trailer, the whole time I thought he was talking to Rey.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird because I saw it as like, oh, it's a monologue and he's talking to himself or something. And I'm like, that's weird for a Star Wars movie. But like you have direct misdirection there. And then you have what I think is the most interesting is us as fans assuming misdirection and being wrong. Like the whole thing about Rey in The Last Jedi, I'll go back to that again with her saying, I need someone to show me my place in all this. And then you go to Kylo Ren and he puts his hand out. And then people are like, there's no way. Do you see the embers behind
him? Yeah, they were so sure that it wasn't true. They were like, there's no way. No way this is happening.
But it wasn't. And he reached his hand out to her later. But I saw some people, and I'm not going to name names because I'm not a bad guy. But there were some people who they try to be know-it-alls about Star Wars and Star Wars trailers and stuff. And there was one guy who said, she's talking to Chewie there. I'm like, so she's pouring her heart out about her journey and what she needs to do with the Force, and she's talking to Chewbacca?
The guy really? She just met.
And she wound up obviously talking to Luke there.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, the hand, so it's like partial misdirection, was Kylo Ren reaching out to her, but at a later part in the movie, as you
they
were just saying.
They also used two scenes that were lit very similar.
Yeah, okay. So
that's the other thing.
Very
they looked
yeah,
very
okay.
similar.
So there really is like, there's kind of a, there's like a story misdirection that ended up not being the case, and there's kind of like a shot misdirection, like a scene misdirection, which did end up being the case. So on first glance you watch it and you're like, yep, this is the scene, they're both there together, they're talking to each other, and it's meant to be that she's asking for help and he's offering the help. The end result is that it was not the same scene. It was two scenes pieced together to tell a story, but that story was true. She did need help. She did come to Kylo, and he did offer his hand out to her. Like
they did
similarly
in the Force Awakens teaser, where they had Luke crying on the ground with his hand on R2, which was in the Force back, obviously, with Rey, but they cut it against all the stormtroopers coming off the planes in Jakku with all the ash in the sky and all the fire. So it looks like they're the same scenes. And then they had Phasma coming out too. And it was just like all this stuff that you're like, oh, this looks very similar. And then they're not. Like Luke's not even in that movie.
Yeah. So one thing I want to say too, because I have more to talk about that, but I want to finish my point here with this, is that scene, if you notice, and you notice that they're two different scenes put together, then you would start to piece together things that you did maybe from the Rogue One trailer, which was, for instance, Saw Gerrera saying, what would you do if they catch you? What would they do? What would you do if they break you? You know, if you continue down this path, what will you become? And they show her in an Imperial outfit. There's no way they're not implying that if she keeps doing what she's doing, the dark side will get to her, or she'll fall, mm-hmm. or she'll be manipulated, or she'll turn, or something like that. All that was very clear what they were implying there, and that was never a story thread for Rogue One.
Or they become had, like, or like become like that Star Wars trope, become what your father became, which he became a military or imperial scientist.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he went up.
Remember, that story starts with tell us about your father. You know, who are you really? You know, what's the secret? Mm-hmm. You know, all this kind of stuff. And I think to a degree, we kind of watch that trailer and we're like, okay, but this is about the hero, the girl who steals the plans from the Death Star. And then they're kind of painting this other picture. And I think we kind of breezed over it because we were like, well, we know what this story is really about. She is going to end up being the hero. But the thing is like that trailer was very misleading, especially since none of that stuff happened. That shot, that line wasn't in the trailer or wasn't in the movie, and that shot of her turning around wasn't in the movie. Now she's in that outfit. But
I was at Celebration.
Shot.
Yeah, well, I was at Celebration when they played that trailer for the first time mm-hmm. before they released it online. And
is that a humble brag?
No.
Or a sweet brag?
No. That's not what I was trying to do.
I'm just kidding.
What I'm saying is, like, when they played that trailer, the initial response in the room was everybody went, oh, like when she turned around, because mm-hmm. there was this understanding amongst, or like this kind of like thought amongst the fans in the room was, is she a bad guy or is she a good guy? And I think that's something that we've seen as a thread throughout several of the movies, including Last Jedi, with Finn talking to DJ's character, where he's like, are you the good guy or are you the bad guy? And then mm-hmm. you have, you know, Daisy Ridley and Adam talking about how that line is blurred as well, where Rey and Kylo are kind of like, okay, well, this kind of touches on that thread. And that scene of her turning around wasn't in the movie because it was a lighting test. And Gareth Edwards said that. He was like, yeah, we were just playing with the lights and we turned them on when she happened to turn around and I thought it looked cool, so I put it in the trailer. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a reflection of how the movie was made? Like, yeah, we did stuff because it looked cool and it didn't make sense to the story? Maybe. But that's why that shot was in that trailer.
And didn't they have, like, Vader's breathing over that, too? Like
they did at the end. Yeah. Yep, and people lost it, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, Vader's in that hallway with her. You know, like, that's, again, that's us creating art speculation for misdirection, too, there. But you're talking about, like, James, you're talking about, like, trolling, like, trailers almost in a sense where they're like, clearly they made us think this, but...
My question is, was that intentional? Like, was that intended to put an idea into our head to lead us into the movie with a certain, prerequisite idea of what this movie is going to be, so that we were surprised or so that we were set on a wild goose chase of our thoughts and our theories, and then we ended up somewhere else? Do you think then maybe they learned from that and they go, oh, that didn't really work out, you know?
No, they love that shock value. That's why they used Rey grabbing Kylo Ren's lightsaber in Last Jedi trailer.
I think it's different because
we're talking about misdirection here. We're not talking about getting the fans excited, really. I think
no, but that is a misdirection, though, because when you saw that initially, the response was, "Oh shit, does she go to the bad side? Like, does she go dark? Does she join him?"
Yeah, that was
him?
A lot of people's, and that was a TV spot too, which those get tricky too.
Yeah, I think that's fans. I think that's in that category that he's talking about, false speculation. I don't think that was ever intended.
I think they did it on purpose in Rogue One because we all know the end game of Rogue One, so they needed to give us some kind of suspense for that movie. Instead of just being like, here's this movie, you know exactly what it's about, how it's going to end, so we have to give these people something to be like, oh, well, that's, could that happen? So I think that's where we get in a weird situation where we have the prequel, quote-unquote prequel-type movies, where we know what the end game for these characters are, so they need to feed us something else to get us wondering. Whereas on these sequel movies where we don't know what's beyond them, they can kind of do a different type of presentation. Like you were saying, I believe the Last Jedi was more of a direct, it wound up being pretty more, you know, much more direct. But I do have to say this, and going back to what Lacey said about J.J. Abrams kind of being a little bit more of a jerk about this in a nice way, about like that one trailer where Luke's voiceover from the Return of the Jedi, where he's like, "The Force is strong in my family.
He doesn't even talk in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, my father has it, my sister has it, and you have that power too," implying like, so Rey is a Skywalker, or there is a familial thing here, and none of that was the case.
Yeah, you know, that one's a weird example too, because that trailer was, at the time, they're trying to get people reinterested in Star Wars, and that's the only time we've ever got a trailer that used literal dialogue from older movies and other things. Like we The Last Jedi didn't have a scene of like a with Obi-Wan Kenobi from the prequels, you know, saying a line, yeah, or something to right, to connect us to where we are now. Mm-hmm. Watch episode 9 do that, and everybody's gonna go buck. They're gonna be like, all right, yeah. But that was, I mean, they used a line from and they didn't even use the dialogue from the movie. Like the actual dialogue, they re-recorded the dialogue.
No. They did use it. They did use it, but they layered it with him now over it too.
Oh, okay. So, then maybe that's fair. But to me, when I heard it, I'm like, that's not the audio from, that's not pulled straight from the audio of the movie. You know what I mean?
It was, but it was changed around a little bit, and they put reverb on it, and then they had his current voice echo it. That's what they did there.
They also took Afraid from Alec Guinness and stretched it out. Well, so Ray, yeah, is actually Alec Guinness saying Ray.
Saying Afraid, no. Yeah.
Yeah, they cut it, so it's
but
Ray.
But we're talking about the trailer.
Yeah.
Just the trailer.
Now that you mentioned it, watch them use Darth Vader quotes or Anakin quotes in episode 9 for some reason as a voiceover.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. Yeah, but I do understand that aspect of, okay, so when he's saying that line, he says, my sister has it, and we're all like, yeah, Leia. And then he goes, and you have that power too, meaning somebody else. But yeah, like, if you actually know that scene, the dialogue the lines are mixed up. So he says, you have that power too, like earlier, and then he says, my sister has it. And that's the thing that's supposed to like tip her off to the fact that it's her. He doesn't say, you know,
I believe he says, my sister has it, and then he says, yes, it's you, Leia. Yeah, he says, yes, it's you, Leia. You have that power, too.
And then the music builds. You have that power, too.
I could have, yeah, you're saying that, and that sounds right, but I could have sworn they were out of order.
It's just, that one part got cut out there, and they went right to that line. So instead of him saying, yes, it's you, Leia, and she's like, and right, then he says, you have that power too.
I'm probably wrong, but watch after this podcast. Next next Monday, you're going to be like, all right, I said I said that he didn't. This will be another Chewbacca situation.
But do you think there's something to that, though? Because I do want to talk a little bit later about potential, like we're saying, potential misdirection in Solo. So do you think there is a difference between how they present stories we already know the end game for as opposed to the sequel trilogy stuff? So they feel like a need to almost twist things up on us in the prequel stuff to give us some kind of surprise?
No.
Oh,
No. My thing, though, is, and Lacey kind of touched on this earlier, she said that Gareth Edwards chose to put that scene in the trailer, but mm-hmm. my understanding is, like, with most movies, the directors don't ever, it's sent off to a marketing team, and those companies cut the trailers, and the directors don't have any say, and it's a very rare situation when a director has any say over the trailers. I don't know for a fact if Star Wars is, well, yeah, they're the 1%. They're the 1% that actually the directors are involved in the trailers, but I would imagine not. I would imagine that somebody else is cutting these.
I guarantee,
correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah, someone else is cutting them, but I guarantee that they're getting run by the director to see what they're, you know, because you could cut anything out of edits.
Yeah, that sounds right, but that sounds right for every movie. Like, surely they get sent away, somebody cuts it, and then the director would approve it. But honestly, it's not. That's not common practice in the movie industry. So,
but correct me if I'm wrong, James and Lacey, because I believe I've seen Matt Martin, who's a part of the Lucasfilm Story Group, say that they're definitely not involved in marketing, which includes trailers, so they're out of it.
Yeah.
James, I think, I don't know if we were off the air, but you had told me that there's a point in The Director and the Jedi where Kathleen Kennedy kind of walks into the room and says, hey, we have a cut of the trailer or something like that to Ryan.
Yeah. And here's the thing is I wish we had a little bit of time for me to go back and check that. But I know that that scene's happened, but I don't remember if she says we have a version of the trailer or we have the final cut of the trailer if you'd like to see it.
You know, or was it a poster or something? I forget what it was.
Oh, it might have been a poster. That's true, too. But then again, it's the same question. Do you think that Rian Johnson gets final approval on the poster? Hey, I put Luke at the top. It's like, I don't think that's the case. And I think that all that stuff comes back to marketing. And he gets to see it and he goes, yeah, that looks cool, you know? But, like, I don't think he has any way to say, like, yeah, this line doesn't make sense because that's supposed to be, and I think that's part of the genius of why you need to separate church and state. You give these other people the trailers, they cut it together, they might get a marketing thing of it, and sometimes the directors would like flip their lids and be like, that's not how I would have cut the trailer. But it's like, yeah, but we're the people who are going to help make this movie make money. And
you mean like
we
Suicide
just want
to where the trailer is just, nothing like the movie.
Well, except for the fact that the
movie stinks.
That's a weird example because that movie was cut by a trailer company.
That I could tell.
Yeah, but so it's weird that you're saying the trailer was nothing like the movie because the fact of the matter is that was a rare special case where the final picture was cut by a marketing trailer team.
I thought
like,
that
how weird is that?
I thought the final version of Suicide Squad was cut by a sixth grader.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was for a project. Yeah.
It was somebody using Final Cut X, the first version. And they're like, I don't know what's going on.
So we're getting up against it here. How about speculation on what we've seen from Solo trailers and TV spots? Do we think there's any misdirection going on in this movie for the trailers and TV spots?
John, I do want to touch on that, but I have one more thing, too, that I want to add to this.
Oh, boy.
I think that there's a reason that a lot of the scenes that we saw in Force Awakens and a lot of scenes that we saw in Rogue One were not in the movie. And people use that as misdirection evidence on purpose or whatever. But I think Force Awakens was, they were putting out trailers a lot earlier. They put out one teaser a whole year in advance, and they put the first trailer out when we normally got a teaser. So we got a full trailer when we normally should get a teaser. And so in that case, I think they're like, we're confident these scenes are going to be in the movie, and it's going to go down like this. And then it just happens. That's movie making business. Those scenes didn't end up being in the trailer, you know? And it's just kind of, I think it was kind of an unfortunate thing because they're like, oh man, it's so weird. The scenes we cut were all the scenes that ended up in that trailer. I wish it wasn't that way, but that's just kind of the way that it was. And then Rogue One, I think also is a special case because they expected that movie to be on a timeline. And then last minute, like all of a sudden they're doing all these reshoots. So all the stuff that they knew were going to be in that movie went into the trailers and then dang it, we reshot the end of the movie.
Yep.
So like none of this stuff ended up actually being in there. And then Last Jedi on time, everything's fine. It was all planned, you know, all the stuff that was in the trailers or in the movie, no problem. And I know that Han Solo, this is how we're going to move into the Han Solo stuff. I know that Han Solo is having issues and reshoots and all that other stuff. But you know what else Han Solo is doing? They're waiting to like the 11th hour to put out all these trailers and stuff, because I think they knew they had a different movie. They reshot it. And once they had basically everything that they knew was going to be in the movie, that's when the trailer started rolling out. So I don't think there's any scenes in the Solo trailers that aren't going to be in the final cut. My take. Hot take.
That's a good point though, because we were sitting there in January and early February before the big football game saying, we haven't seen anything from this movie. It's going to be out in 3 months. And now we're sitting here like another TV spot. Oh man. It's just funny how that works out. But I think there is some misdirection in the Solo stuff, but not a lot. Like the first, say someone just saw the first trailer and that's all they saw for some reason. Like they don't watch all the trailers, you know, whatever, and they don't see Chewbacca in those scenes. And now we've seen in that new full trailer, he's like imported into them, as you pointed out, and went viral. other things like Beckett in the first trailer said, "I'm putting together a crew." And now in all the TV spots in the full trailer, he says, "I heard about a job, a big shot gangster putting together a crew." So it goes from him saying, "I'm putting together a crew," to this big shot gangster putting together a crew. And that's, it's not, I guess, that big of a deal, but it is, you are saying two completely different things there with the magic of trailer editing. I don't know, Lacey, what do you think? Do you think there's misdirection in Solo promo stuff?
I think there is, because there's always misdirection in all these trailers where you think one thing and it's actually the other. I think it's a very personal reaction to trailers. Everybody's got their own opinion. I think that there's probably storylines that aren't included in that. So like in the toys, you can see that at one point Han works for is like a Imperial person. Mm-hmm. So then you don't even see that in the trailers. They kind of just gloss over it, and immediately he's in with Tobias Beckett. And
he's in the trailer in that outfit.
Yeah, in the outfit, but you don't see him like out and about.
Working, yeah.
Yeah. So if anybody that's not a huge Star Wars fan and hasn't looked at the toys, if you see him in that outfit, you're like, oh, he's just in a different outfit, you know?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
But yeah, so then, like you said, John, when he talks about getting a crew together and then working, you know, a guy is pulling together a crew instead of he's pulling together the crew. I think that's also some type of misdirection where they make the Voss, Dryden Voss, right?
Mm-hmm.
They make him look like the bad guy, but maybe Han ends up working for him. Like, you don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that's the whole thing, is like Han joins thinking he's working for one guy, but he's actually working for the bad guy. And then you get back into that thread of who's bad, who's good.
So the Empire article did also write up a little piece about how they were emphasizing that Dryden Voss is, in fact, the big shot gangster. He's the main villain of this movie. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's that. But that line alone caused a lot of speculation. A big shot gangster. And they show an image of Dryden Voss at that point. Now, is Disney or Lucasfilm, you know, who's ever putting this together, are they trying to say, this is who we're talking about? There's, you know, this is a different scene. This That's is Tobias thing. Beckett yeah. talking about some, you know, in another scene, but we're putting it in inclusion with this image of Dryden Voss. So, you know who he's talking about. Big shot gangster, it's Dryden Voss, but boy, don't you know it. You hear big shot gangster and Han Solo is connected to this. Everybody's going Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
So, that's true. So here's the question. Are Disney being, like, you know, honest with their trailer? They, look, big shot gangster, there he is. We're telling you. That's not misdirection. But then you could say, oh, but it was misdirection. The big shot gangster in this, that's just Dryden Voss. They're just showing you that to make you think that's the villain. Because we're confused, to be honest, for the most part. Like, everybody thought Enfys Nest was the villain. Now we're now we're very clear it's Dryden Voss. Maybe Dryden Voss isn't. Maybe the Empire
Enfys
article.
Enfys Nest almost seems like she's going to be, like I keep saying this, like a Phasma. Like, it's going to be a very short part, but it's going to be cool. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what though, in that Star Wars show with Lawrence Kasdan and John Kasdan, they said something that makes me think my crazy theory is true. They said, tell us about Enfys Nest. Well, you know, in order to learn a little bit about Enfys Nest, you really got to look at Tobias Beckett first. And I'm like, it's his wife. It's his estranged wife, ex-wife. They were in a relationship together. They split up. That's where this becomes drama, because he's
now I'm getting
Han's,
crazy with it.
Yeah, Han's trying to steal from something that she wants to, and he's caught in the middle now. But anyway.
Imagine the reason we haven't seen Thandie Newton so much, because she's Enfys Nest or something like that.
Yeah. Now, see, that's that fan speculation you're talking
about. I know
about.
That.
Yeah.
I'm getting wrapped up in it.
She could be, though, because you only see her here and there, and she's with him, and then later down the road, she could be someone else.
Yeah. I mean, it could happen.
You never see her in the same scene.
Right.
Whereas Kira, you end up seeing in the desert scene with
And as we always do, let's remember that we said that, and then we could, you know, bring it back up. But one thing I do want to bring up, and let me know if you guys think this is misdirection. So, and this isn't as crazy. I was watching the full trailer, and it starts off with a voiceover. And we know how these trailers, sometimes these voiceovers are way off base.
Sure.
And it's Kira, and all the shots you see are of Han, and all these shots correlate to what she's saying. And she says, you're after something. Revenge? Money? Something else? And I don't think she's talking to Han there at all. So I don't know if she's talking to this Dryden Vos.
I think she's Beckett, talking to Lando.
Could be Lando.
I think she's talking to Han. I think that's pretty...
No, because
I get it. This is a good example. He could but then be it goes, misdirection, but...
But because then it cuts right to her actually face-to-face with Han saying, like, you look good, a little rough around the edges. So it makes your brain say, oh, so she was talking to Han that whole time.
Yeah, but you know what? So. I think it's true, but if you cut that up and she goes, you look good, and then he says a line and she goes, but different. You look like you're after something. You know what I mean? Like, as that conversation, that's the starter. You look good, but the conversation goes on.
Happens,
they have a little bit of deeper.
After that line.
I would put money on that she's not saying that to Han.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, I think this is why this discussion is a good discussion, because you could show us any Star Wars trailer and there will be someone who will say, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. I think that's the movie they're delivering. And there's going to be somebody else that says, that's what they want you to think.
You know? Yeah, true.
So, you guys are right. Like, this is what makes, this is actually like a little bit of a promo for when we do the Han Solo challenge. All the listeners for Last Jedi Challenge will know what we were doing here. We're doing another one, Han Solo Challenge. It's coming. There's going to be a prize. We're going to ask questions based on speculation, and you guys are going to see who gets the most right after the movie comes out. This is the lead up to that, though. There's all these trailers. What are we doing? You know what I mean? Are we really trying to figure out the movie based on the trailers, or are we just suckers because we know this is all like... Who says, you know, like, we're just sticking lines together and throwing it together, and you guys don't know what's going on. We're just trying to give you a little bit of a taste of what the movie might be like. We're not actually telling you anything. Why would we do that?
I mean, the best part was, like, a best example of that is Force Awakens, that first teaser that they, the second teaser, where they showed Kylo Ren lighting up his lightsaber in the snow. And imagine how, like, do you guys remember how crazy people went? They were like, it's Luke, blah, blah, blah. It's this person, it's that person. And ended up to be nothing what people thought it was.
I think even in The Last Jedi, people were still like, yeah, Luke's going to be evil. Like, they couldn't let
he
it go.
He kind of was.
Now that he's finally dead, people can stop.
It is funny, man. We went this whole conversation and we have yet to bring up. It's time for the Jedi to end. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, he did say that in the movie. It was the thread. It was exactly what it was, that he did believe that. And at the same time, like, it's kind of funny, like, the speculation on that, even if you were correct by saying, I think that is him, I think he means it, you still were led down a path of, he's on the dark side now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if you were right, you were still in the wrong. Like, what a weird speculation.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that line up, because in The Director and the Jedi, Rian Johnson talks about that line specifically and talks about how, or was that that, or was it the commentary? I can't remember what it was. I watched so many Rian Johnson interviews. I love him so much. But in one of the interviews he did about that line specifically, the Jedi have to end, I'm pretty sure it was their commentary now that I'm thinking about it. He talks about how originally when he cut it, that line had other things after it. That wasn't the whole line. He had this whole like convoluted line that had that in it. And he said when he was in the cutting room, on the cutting room floor, editing the movie, they cut it to that. And he was like, oh, I didn't even think this sounded that good. Just with that. So
you're saying the line originally was... Rey, it's time for the Jedi end because they are something, something, so, like, there was, it was a longer line.
There was, he said there were like two or three other sentences, and then the editor was like, you don't need this, just leave it to this.
Yeah, good on his editor, man, because what a strong sentence, phrase.
That's not what Rian wrote.
Yeah.
I feel like people got wiser, though, because I remember when that trailer came out, people were like, oh, that's at the beginning of the movie, and then he's going to turn good, and blah, 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 and that's what ended up happening. But, you know, if it was the first Star Wars movie to come out in the last 12 years, people would be like, oh, no! What is happening? But, we are getting up on time here, guys, so Any last thoughts on Solo or misdirection in general, or what do you think? I'm sure there's stuff our listeners are going to point out that we didn't have time to talk about, which is great because we do want to hear from them. But what do you think?
Yeah, the only thing I got is, like, guys, if there was something that you're sitting in your car and you're listening to this and you're slapping yourself in the head because you're like, I can't believe they're not talking about the most obvious misdirection, like, tell us. Like, seriously,
Finn
hit me
with the
up.
Lightsaber.
Yeah, that's another
one,
too. That
was the biggest
yeah.
one for me. And then in the movie, he ends up to be a trash man.
Yeah, so, I mean, just send them our way and, like, put them in the YouTube comments. Hit us mm-hmm. up on Twitter, you know, anything you guys can to talk about this. Because what we have started here, we will finish online with you guys.
Yeah, well put. All right, James, what do we have in our Resistance Transmissions this week?
Ooh, Resistance Transmissions this week is kind of interesting. We're doing something a little bit different, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Lacey, actually, you were the one that posted a little 5 seconds from the TV spot, and it was this particular scene with Han tapping, you know, his Sabacc cards on the table, and then he shows them to Chewie, and Chewie just kind of gives this, like, oh my God. God, like, we're screwed. Like, kind of a thing. And we just wanted to take a second. And we thought it would be really funny is if, you know, what do the fans think that Chewie actually is saying in this moment? And so we threw it out to you guys. And we have some of the best comments because you know how you get on this. You post the comment, but then people got to like it. So
they gotta like it.
Yeah, feel free to post your own comments, but go through and like the ones you think are the funniest, and get those people on the show or help them out. Our first one is Helio Carrasco at silent_H. His quote was, "Looks like a straight poodoo."
So are you saying like looks like poker? Like looks yeah. like a straight.
Like
straight
he's, poodoo. Yeah, I could see him like handing the cards over, and he's like, "Yeah, that looks like a straight." And then he sees like the ace and the queen. You know, he's like, "Yeah, that looks pretty." And then he sees like the two and the five, and it doesn't have anything. And he's like, "Yeah, that's a crappy hand. Like that just looks like straight poodoo." What are some other ones? Did you guys pick out one that you like?
Yeah. So Josh at Just Joshua Ryan, who, good for you, Josh. You made it on 2 weeks in a row. So way to Woo. Kill it.
The real MVP.
It's time to dethrone Josh. So you out there listening, don't be shy.
Come up with some clever out there comment stuff. At us.
Josh said, Chewie, this is Chewie saying, "I hate this game, Han. Can I go play Dejarik?"
Well played, Josh. And then our next one's from Haley Meyer at Shapely Buns, shapely_buns.
With a Z, very, very, very sassy with the Z, buns. Yeah,
very hip, Shapely Buns. I've got a bad feeling about this.
Nice.
The perfect fan servicey, yeah. I'll take it moment. Thank you, Haley.
And you know what? She may have nailed that. Like, I could totally see that being right. Right on.
Han in the trailer, though, at some point does say, what does he say to Chewie? It's something that
you
implies
always have
that,
a bad feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, rrr, and then he's like, you always have a bad feeling about this, you know, or something. So I kind of get the impression that if that line is implied that Chewbacca says it at some point, it's probably in the pilot seat, but we're getting flooded with it. Maybe Chewbacca says it there. I've got a good feeling about this. You know, he looks at his hand and he goes, ugh, like that could very well be. That could very well be like, I've got a bad feeling about this too. Thanks. Thanks for sending those to us, guys. I personally thought that was a lot of fun. I don't know how you guys felt, how listeners felt about it, but I think everybody who was commenting was having a lot of fun with it. So that was a good little section for the Resistance Transmission. We love sharing you guys on Twitter. We love sharing you guys, you know, maybe we'll do one time for YouTube and we'll go through. I mean, we just did the giveaway, but it would be fun That's to true. See what YouTube comments we could come up with to actually host a little bit of a Resistance Transmission for that.
Right on. Yes. And thank you for those, and thank you to all of our listeners. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, thanks for sticking around and for supporting the show and spreading the word. We are growing rapidly, and that's thanks to you. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or YouTube. And please take 5 seconds to rate us 5 stars on iTunes and like and comment on our videos on YouTube. It goes a long way for us, so we really appreciate it. Buy some Resistance Broadcast swag. Head to our store, tpublic.com/user/resistancebroadcast, and grab a shirt, mug, poster, hoodie, whatever you like, in one of our 30 different designs. Most of them James made for us. They're awesome. So thank you, James. Including our newest Falcon Airlines t-shirt, where Captain Calrissian reminds you, you might want to buckle up, baby. I'm sure I didn't sound like Billy Dee or Donald Glover there, but that's why they don't pay me the big bucks. As always, be sure to head to our website, StarWarsNewsNet.com, for all of your latest Star Wars news and information. James, where can people find you?
I'm actually doing pretty good. I'm excited to talk about the trailer misdirection section of this podcast. I'm just excited because I love Star Wars, and tonight's going to be a good episode.
Well done. Lazy, where can people find you?
People can find me, as usual, on Twitter, tweeting pictures of Kylo Ren shirtless. I will always be doing that. I must fight the good fight.
Yep.
Other than that, just hanging out. Probably scissor punching somewhere.
Nice. Way to keep that going.
Ash!
Yeah. Ash! You guys can find me on Twitter at Johnny Hoey and writing over at StarWarsNewsNet.com. I just found out that I'm having a baby boy. So, you'll find me being a dad.
Jedi, like your father before you.
Yes, yes. So you'll I won't talk about that too much in the future, but that's happening. So I figured I'd fill you guys in on that. And thank you once again for hanging out with us today. All of you, we had a blast. We hope you did too. Enjoy your weekends, and we will see you with a brand new episode on Monday morning right here on the Resistance Broadcast.